Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, okay. Let's close our eyes and pray. I'm going to recite a prayer in Tamil. You can say your prayer in your own languages. So let the Spirit come in. Parol til erikkira engal pidave umude naamam achikkapaduvadaga umude rajyam varuga umude sitham parolathil seiyapaduvathu pola poolathilum seiyapaduvadaga engal anudina unave engalukku arutharalum engalukku theeme sevangalai naangal porupadu pola engal paavangalai porutharalum எங்கனில் சோதனையில் விழவிடாதையும் தீமையிலிருந்து இறைச்சித்தரலும் May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Please take a seat. Shalom to everyone. Shalom. So I thought before I start, let me just read the text for this morning, which is going to be a big text from the Acts 19 verses 1 to 10. Acts 19 verses 1 to 10. And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus. And finding some disciples, he said to them, Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? They said to him, We have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. And he said to them, Into what then you were baptized? So they said, Into John's baptism. Paul said, John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands to them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Now the men were about 12 in all. And he went into the synagogue and spoke boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading concerning all things of the kingdom of God. But when some were hardened and did not believe, but spoke evil of the way before the multitude, he departed from them and withdrew the disciples, reasoning daily in the school of Tyrannus. And this continued 2 years, so that all who dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. So the title for this morning, what I thought last couple of weeks, even my holidays at St. Helens, I have taken the title, Outside the Box Church. Outside the Box Church, okay. Let me set this up first. Right. Okay. Have you heard the phrase apology equals cliche? No? So many years I have heard churches were asking, how do we get our church outside these four walls? Right? If there ever was a generation that hard to reach, it's this one. If ever there was a generation that was harder to reach with traditional means, it's this one. Yeah. But how do we get our church outside the box? Right? First, let's answer the question, what is the box? What is the box? So let me check what I got here. Traditional mindsets. Comfort zones, our church's history, generational boundaries, our personal histories and experience. And it's never been done that way before mentality. This church is not a traditional church. Right? I doubt that if we will ever conform to everybody's idea of a traditional church, it's not this. We don't start out from traditional means, and we will not end up with traditional means if we are careful. Tradition has always ways of holding you to your past, which some people love, but it also has a way of limiting your future. I remember when my father was a Buddhist, he was want to get married. Now, my mom is a European and he got a Portuguese background. He's a Catholic and a Christian. So he decided to become a Christian and get baptized and marry my mother. But the society, the country which we are living in, Sri Lanka, it's Buddhist country. And from my father's side, they are all Buddhist. So when he decided to become a Christian, right, they stopped him to get married my mother because they said, you can't marry a Christian because you have to marry a Buddhist. Or even in Sinhalese and Tamil culture, you can't intermarry because there is a different race and we are another race. So if I met Dashi in Sri Lanka, I won't be able to marry because it's frowned upon because Dashi is Tamil and I'm from a different ethnicity, right? So tradition always has a way of limiting your future, right? Sticking with the norms is often safer, but it seldom always allows you the opportunity to experience miraculous in your life and ministry. We understand that to be effective in our community or the communities that we all come from, we are going to have to be a church that is outside the box of a normal church of conformity. So what is conformity? Conformity cannot be starting place for God's church. Right? As a matter of fact, it was never a starting place of any move of God or effective ministry mentioned in the Bible. Right? When you look at the life and the ministry of Jesus Christ, you see quickly that his ministry was definitely outside the box ministry. Why do I say that? His very birth was completely unconventional, virgin birth. His childhood was unusual, 12 years old teaching in the synagogue. His first known miracle was controversial even for today, turning water into wine. His choosing of disciples was completely unorthodox, right? Ignorant fishermen, tax collectors, publicans. Many other miracles, so strange, many never believed they happened. He purposely waited Lazarus to die before he went to help him. The religious people in his day thought him so unorthodox and so eccentric in his ministry that they hated him so much they wanted to kill him. Think about it. How different would this church have to be that the rest of the religious world would want us to destroy us because we were so different than the norm? This was how it was for Jesus. His ministry was so different from the other people thought it should be that they failed to recognize who he really was. The idol of who and what God was completely different than who and what he really was. Jesus' ministry was and is an expression of outside box church thinking. Over and over again, he expressed to the teachers and the religious people that they thought was right religiously was actually wrong. What they thought was wrong was actually right. They thought they had God figured out. Right? They had probed and dissected and analyzed God until they had him all wrapped in some neat and tidy little package called Judaism. Right? They had teachers who would toe the line, so to speak, and cause the people to believe that their little box in religion believed. To the point that if anyone have stepped outside the box or outside the line of conformity, they were shunned, disinherited, even persecuted. Right? To leave a box meant heresy. To leave a box means sacrilege. To leave a box is to leave the way it had always been done. To leave the box was to bring upon your judgment and the persecution for the religious order of the day. In Jesus' case, to leave the box is to put down his life in jeopardy and to the point of the cross. But guess what? Despite the threat of the cross, Jesus said, "Pick up your cross and follow me." Jesus never flinched. His ministry was immense for a box. His anointing was great for a box. His zeal was too great for a box. His passion was too vast for a box. Jesus' ministry didn't fit protocols. It did not fit standard. And so the only way they could stop him was to kill him. But their killing him still not stop him. I thank God Jesus did not conform. I thank God Jesus did not imitate what some other preachers down on the road was doing. I'm so thankful that Jesus was not a clone of some guy on a television, on a big evangelist somewhere. He was who he was. And if you don't like who he was, that was too bad. But probably meant you miss out all the miraculous in your life. There was nothing common. There was nothing unusual. There was nothing traditional about Jesus. And there was nothing common, usual, or traditional about the church ministry he produced. But one scripture I have read tells us the gates of hell would not prevail against the church of the living God. That's why his church grew over 3,120 the very first day it was started. That's why it grew by thousands daily after. It actually reached all of Asia Minor in the space of just 2 years. Just 2 years. That's why Rome eventually adopted it as a national religion, because as much Rome persecuted it, it grew. No matter how many Christians they threw into the lions or the gladiator pits in the Colosseum of Rome, Christianity continued to flourish and multiply there. Jesus' church was outside the box. The church in the book of Acts did things that no other religion would do. It reached out and healed people. It fed the hungry. It clothed the naked. It delivered the oppressed. It embraced baptism. And it decided to fill with the Holy Spirit. We are not concerned about what is popular. We want to know what the Bible says. What the Holy Spirit says to us. We are not concerned about what this group or that group saying or doing. Or our concern is, what does the book say? We are asking, what is Spirit saying to this church today? Here's my 3 points for today. An outside the box church can reach its generations. Yeah. My second point, an outside the box church can go to the places other churches only dream of. My third point, an outside the box church can minister to and win people that other churches would judge and avoid. However, to be outside the box means that we are going to take some heat from other inside box thinkers. But to be outside the box means we are not all that concerned about what the people are saying anyway. We are not trying to be respectful or condescending. We are just trying to listen to God. We are trying to hear what the Spirit is saying to this church in the community that we are living in. Hear what I am saying. The box is designed to contain something. The box is intended to enclose something. The box is built to keep something, things in. But the result is it also keeps some things out. Jesus said, "Go ye unto all the world." The sad thing about a box church is that the things it keeps out is most often the very things that God intended to get into it in the first place. I will say this again. A sad thing about a box church is that the thing that it keeps out is most often the very things that God intended to get into it in the first place. And that is a lost and dying world. If there is one thing I have noticed about this church, is that it has no problem getting guests and visitors to come into it. Most often, I hear from the people who visit here say how much they love it. They love the music. They love the people. They love the preaching. They love the spirit that they feel. They love this church. Why? Because this church is out of the box. There has no problem reaching non-church people. And the reason why is because it loves and embraces non-church people regardless of where they are at in their life. And I believe the reason is because we love like Jesus loves unconditionally. We don't look what people look like. We don't look at where they are and where they have been. We genuinely love people without any forms of judgment. One of the most repeated sermons Jesus preached was, "Judge not." If you ever wanted to hear a preacher preach the same sermon over and over again, it would have been Jesus, and the topic would have been people judging other people. Guess what? We don't judge. We just love people. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in His sight. And that goes more than the skin color or race. Hey, even we love church people. But I don't want to say that if you come here from some other church, you might need to lay down a few box church ideas. I had people tell me, "Well, in the church I came from, they preach such and so." Well, my question is, isn't that why you left that church?
Good.
Right?
Good.
This is not that church. This church is out of the box. We are not interested in the things that keep other churches all bound up and unable to grow. Jesus' church is a church that is growing. If we are not growing, there's something wrong with us. If we are not producing babies in Christ, then we don't love people the way Jesus said to love them. You see, an outside-the-box church is a church that's willing to do whatever it needs to do to reach communities with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Methods may change, but the message is still the same. I'd like to invite the worship team to come in now. An outside-the-box church is not locked into traditional mindset, right? You have churches where I was growing up in Italy. There's a lot of churches where I was growing up. When we started doing something, a ministry in the skate parks, I like to go to the skate parks in my younger days, right? And hang around with a bunch of young boys, and we just talk, right? The place where I was growing up is Sicily. As you know, it's very hard to grow up when you're growing up young. It's a hard place to live because there's a lot of gangs, a lot of drugs, and people are all the time carrying a gun in their pocket. You see every day when you go to school. But we started our ministry in the skate park. And the pastor who was in the traditional church sort of thing, because Sicily is like a Roman Catholic, right? They don't like to go outside the box and do stuff, right? But I said, like, no, I want to do something in the skate park. I don't mind whoever comes in. I'll go there and start talking. You know what? We started with 5 young men. And we grow up to 200. It's not we who did it. It's the Spirit of the Lord who did it. Right? Therefore, the book of Acts Church that Jesus started was effective in reaching his world. It reached across boundaries that no one wanted or dared to cross for generations. An outside-the-box church will attract people. It will draw people. It will appeal to people. And the reason that it does, because its arms are genuinely open to them. There are no big eyes or little U's in this church. We truly care about people. We love people. We want to help people. We want to minister to people. I'm not interested in preaching week after week for a bunch of trained yes men and women. I want to preach to the people who sincerely want to change the power of the gospel and who want to reach to the world with the message of Jesus Christ. In our text today, we hear about the church that has turned its world upside down with the gospel of Jesus Christ. In 2 years' time, the message they proclaimed literally shut down the worship of goddess Diana. Right? The silversmith who made the silver images that the people worshiped got together and tried to abolish the ministry that the early church was doing. It says in the book of Acts 19:25-26, they said this: He called them together with the workers of similar occupation and said, Men, you know that we have a prosperity by this trade. Moreover, you see and hear not only at Ephesus, but throughout almost all Asia, this Paul has persuaded and turned away many people, saying that they are not gods which are made with the hands. So not only this trade of ours is in danger of falling into disrepute, but also temple of goddess Diana may be despised and her magnificence destroyed, whom all Asia and the world worship. The early church was an outside of the box church. It reached its generation with the gospel, and it only reached its community, but it also went out and reached the communities around it. It was an on-fire church. It was a worshiping church. It was a giving church. It was a loving church. It was a forgiving church. It was an enabling church. It was a growing church. It had no boundaries. It had no limits. It had no walls. It had no boxes. It was outside the box church. I want you to stand up now. Let's close our eyes and welcome the Spirit of the living God. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come into our hearts today. Wherever you are at this morning, ask the Spirit of the Lord to touch you. Let the Spirit say this morning that my Spirit is enough for you. You can be my son, my daughter. Go outside the box. Let us look at the people that threaten us this morning in our workplace, in our homes and our relationships. Let us look at the event that overwhelms us and let them know. Know that the love of God is stronger than all that. He will turn those people's machinations into a blessing. God will use our enemies' action into grace of God. We only have to look at the wounds of Jesus. The very wounds of Jesus, the terrible wounds of Jesus Christ, which were the wounds of defeat, the wounds of pain, the wounds of shame, and the wounds of death. By the resurrection, by the Holy Spirit in the dead body of Jesus Christ, became the sign of victory. The wounds turn into a sign of eternal victory. God will have His way. If we have lost it, if you have forgotten it this morning, just come back to this. God will have His way. Amen. Exchange whatever you have brought here with this truth this morning and be loud. He loves you in your weakness. He loves you in your failure. He loves you with your addiction. He loves you with your brokenness. He loves me in my fears. As I hold on to this love this morning, it's going to change every one of those things into an opportunity by His great love. Isn't that cause for a worship? Isn't that cause for a praise? Shall we look at Him in your hearts this morning and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come into the hearts of everyone who is here today. Come into the hearts of people who is online and who is following us and who is doing the ministry now, who is doing the ministry outside the box of the church walls. Come, Spirit, come. As we sing this song, but this time, quietly, slowly digesting it. Amen.